Danny Wallace. Radio
X. Hello and welcome to podcast number 42 from The Important Broadcast. A literature theme this week.
Oh, is that the title then?
I think it might be.
Oh, good. Well done.
Because I give you a book. Mm. You're going to read that book?
All right, I'll read it all this week. I'll
give Great.
It a go. I've got, I mean, let me just finish the book I'm currently reading.
What is that?
Which is, This Is Going to Hurt.
Still!
Oh, I've read it for about 2 weeks.
How long is this book?
You know what? It's not very long, and I should have read it quicker.
But you brought a book in yourself, in a Rugrats notebook, a collection of pieces you wrote when you were around 8 years old in Billericay.
Yeah.
Billericay years, your Billericay era.
Mm. Long before, of course, it was known for Gavin and Stacey and the home of Lee Evans.
Correct.
Billericay was a much more, stark landscape. Yeah. And I think that's where I derived a lot of this kind of windy, cold terrain that you'll find within the text.
Well, it's true. Just the stark realism of Billericay in the mid-90s.
It's quite nice to reflect on it, to see where my dialogue style started.
Yeah, it is a journey.
Yeah, and now obviously I'm much more descriptive.
And what was the name of your school?
Mayflower.
Mayflower. So, so very, very influenced, heavily influenced by all the goings on and the characters at the Mayflower School in Billericay in the 90s.
And, of course, that
Knowles
idea.
Knowles House
of...
Party, Gladiators,
FIFA,
Lilt.
Lilt.
Quasar.
You know, I had a Lilt the other day.
Is it still going?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Well, it's totally tropical.
It is. It's the taste of the Caribbean.
I used to see an old man kicking a can down the road. Not always Lilt, but I remember once it was Lilt.
Well, that's such a specific memory for you to have held on to.
Well, I remember walking to the window because of it, hearing a strange rattling sound. What is that? What is that? Oh, it's the old can man. And he used to just kick a can down the street.
How old were you when you saw the can man?
Oh, this is going back to when I was 35.
So, like, what, 15, 20 years ago? Am I right?
Oh, you got me there. What a zinger. No. Let's begin the podcast. And this one also features, unbeknownst to us at one point, Joe was just recording us in the studio, having a bit of a natter.
Hey, look, sometimes we have a bit of a chat, and I thought it'd be nice for the listener to have a little bit of an insight into that.
What he means is he wanted to bulk out the podcast. Here it is. Radio X.
Ah. Oh, Danny, what's that?
What's what, Steve?
That.
Sorry, where?
There.
Okay, what though?
That thing there.
What thing? Where?
The thing there.
What thing?
Oh, sorry, Joe, it's you.
Steve, do you think maybe you need glasses?
Wait, which one of you said that?
Steve, by the way, your pay for the last 42 weeks has arrived, hasn't it, Joe? And it's in this very tiny jar that we used to keep marbles in.
I don't remember that jar, but it's probably because I'm so forgetful.
Mm.
Oh, and your new contract is here too for you to sign.
Sign it, yeah.
Super cool. I don't know what I'm signing or receiving in pay because of the sudden short-sightedness we've just established in addition to my forgetfulness.
Yes.
But I trust you guys.
Okay.
You could just be handing me a small jar of marbles and making me sign something that says I have to walk around naked all day.
Mm. Actually, it says you have to walk around fully clothed,
fully
Steve.
Clothed, fully clothed. Yeah, we would prefer it if you would wear clothes.
I forgot to wear clothes again, didn't I?
Could you just hold those marbles a little lower?
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Hello, everybody. It is The Important Broadcast, and it's Sunday. So let's kick things off like this. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. More knockabout fun to come. Let's kick things off.
Radio X.
And there's nothing in the Bible, as far as I can see, about your lumpy hand, Steve Ferdinando. Getting to the music, first of all, to you.
Getting to the music, Danny.
Getting to the music to you, Joe.
Getting to the music, everyone.
Yes, absolutely. The lumpy hand has made a comeback. I don't want to paint a graphic picture of it. To look at, it doesn't look lumpy, but you're concerned that there are lumps.
It is a lumpy hand. Look at the size of that thing.
Oh, man, I didn't even see that in this light. Yeah, there is a big lump there. So you went to the doctor this week, and what did the doctor say about your lumpy hand?
The doctor said to to me that it's extremely rare and extraordinarily hard to operate on.
Well, that's that bodes well.
Which is a terrible sentence to hear from a doctor.
What a defeatist doctor.
He said it's a problem with my veins.
Oh.
And so he goes, problem is that I'm a vein expert, so I could operate on the veins, but it's on your hand, so we need the hand expert. But the hand expert doesn't know how to do the veins. So between us, we're not really sure what to do.
Surely there is a vein. There's not like one vein expert on the NHS and one hand expert.
No, no, but it's the combination of the two. It's apparently, because it's really rare, you don't normally have to take these things out of hand.
But if he's a vein expert, then what part of the body's veins is he an expert in if it's not the hand veins?
Wrist up. He can only do wrist up. He's like an artist who can't draw hands.
He's like he's a vast, well, it doesn't matter what he does. He's a very good doctor, Dr. Morris.
Don't sound like it.
Yeah, you can say that.
He's a good doctor.
As long as he's not a vain man.
Am I right? But I had a bit of a problem this morning.
I was expecting more from that. That was quite a good joke. Stephen, so what's the problem? It's just a lump to do with a vein in your hand.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
So is it?
Yeah,
you've been banging on about this for ages.
Well, my doctor friend was like, you've got to go to the doctors to have a look at it. And so this morning I had to go and have an ultrasound.
Ooh.
And they cover it in the jelly and stuff. And he's just looking at it like, he just keeps going, ooh. And it's very disheartening when you're sitting there with a doctor. And because I've started wearing a leather jacket recently.
Have you?
Yeah, I treated myself to one the other day. Because I went to see a rock concert last night.
Oh, well, you need the leather jacket for a rock concert if you're going to, meet the ladies.
Exactly. And I did feel a little bit like David Brent there, wearing a leather jacket.
What colour is it? Is it
black.
Fawn?
it's a nice jacket. But everyone
bright
keeps,
red?
Everyone keeps saying it like Richard Hammond. Anyway, so at a rock concert, a leather jacket's fine. In an ultrasound clinic, not so fine.
No, you look too cool for school, don't you?
I felt
not take it off before your ultrasound?
Well, I wasn't really thinking straight. I went and sat down and I felt like I was going, just give it to me straight, doc.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change the way I live.
But the leather jacket for you is very much completing the look. Because generally, when the music is on in this studio, you lean against the wall we've established in your stonewashed jeans. Your white socks, your very shiny black leatherette sort of trainers, and you just comb your hair and you chew on your toothpick, don't you?
Toothpick, yeah.
And when you take your gum out, you just stick it on the wall.
Yeah, and I say, why I oughta.
Yeah, you do say that quite a lot. Well, I hope your lumpy hand is de-lumped.
Yeah, well, we'll find out just before Christmas.
Well, it sounds like an impossible task for these doctors.
I know.
Coming up on today's important broadcast, we won't talk any more about Steve's lumpy hand because it's just the phrase is making me feel queasy. We're going to try something new. We're going to try something called You Complete Me.
Okay.
Do you know about this?
No, I haven't heard.
You'll soon find out, my friend.
You said that in a bit of a voice there.
I did. I was trying to be creepy. So let's cleanse ourselves of all those feelings and get some music and get into it.
Danny Wallace. This. Is Radio X.
So I mentioned that we're going to play You Complete Me in just a few moments' time. But I also wanted to clear something up because, you bought this leather jacket in order to look cool at rock concerts to impress girls.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, that's why you've got a new look and you're having a lump taken off your hand.
Yeah, the ladies don't like the lumpy hand.
So it's all trying to create the perfect package for you. Mm. I know that a bit later on, you've brought in a story that you wrote when you were 8 years old.
Which
will be interesting to get into. And because of that literary theme, I was in a noted bookshop just before and I bought you a present, Steve.
Oh, great.
I got you a new book to read.
Yeah.
Franz Kafka.
Oh, brilliant.
You love that guy.
I love a bit of Kafka.
It's a beautiful cover. There you are. What is it?
The Unhappiness of Being a Single Man.
So I thought there could be some tips in there. I don't know if it begins with make sure your hand isn't lumpy and you've got a leather jacket.
You know what? The first story is called A Message from the Emperor, so I guess that must be you.
Thank you very much. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
So maybe we'll do a brief reading from the works of Kafka later on, because it is Radio X. And although the radars are high at the moment, I feel we can pull them down. If only we really try. So we'll play You Complete Me after this.
Danny Wallace. Radio X.
Finn was telling me that. I do a thing, right? So they sell downstairs these crisps.
Oh, tell me more.
And I love them.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll go down almost every day and get a packet.
Of course you will, yeah.
But because I go so much, the woman who sells, who works in the cafe, she...
calls you Crispy Steve.
Well, no, but she never says anything. Like, she doesn't even say, like, thank you, or she just kind of looks at me, takes my money, and then so it makes me feel like she's judging me for getting the crisps.
Probably is, yeah.
And so then what I do is I go, oh, you're just getting my crisps again. And then
the tension and to say, I know how this looks, you know, maybe we can move on from
there. Yeah. But she never reacts. She never goes, huh. Or she never goes like, oh, you know, have what you want. But she must recognise me because I go almost every day.
Mm.
So either she just has like no recollection of who I am and just thinks I'm some awkward man, or she's like tormenting me and not giving me the satisfaction that I need from her acceptance of my crisp addiction.
Well, it's possible in her 9-hour shift she deals with other people and she can't possibly sort of want to associate a specific joke with everybody who within a limited customer base, i.e. employees of Global Radio Incorporated. She can't like have a notepad with a distinct thing that she remembers. And also, it's not a great story from her point of view going home. Sort of going, oh, you never guess. The guy that bought the crisps yesterday bought some more crisps today. They're like, what else you got, Mum? Oh, well, the guy with a coffee had a coffee.
Well, that's what Vin was saying. He was like, this is stranger that it's more of a thing in your head than her not responding to you.
Her small talk reserves, by the time she served sort of 50 people, your tolerance for small talk is going to be getting low, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I'm not expecting her to have small talk. I just want that little bit of acknowledgement.
That is small talk. That's what that is.
That's literally that.
I just don't want to be made to feel bad about my, even though she's actually not doing that.
I found a fiver in a shop with Ideas Above It station. and the fiver didn't come from me, and I assumed it was the woman in front of me. And so I picked it up for her, and I said, sorry, did you drop this? And I don't think she was sure at first, but she was like, oh, thanks. And I said, buy yourself something nice. And she went, I'll probably buy something for my boyfriend.
All right.
Now, that was a hell of a leap.
God,
did you think you were soliciting her?
I think she thought I was soliciting or testing the waters.
What a way to go about that!
Did you drop this money?
Yeah, it's a very costly enterprise in a city as lady rich as London, England, as well.
Perhaps you could buy us a drink with it.
cost me £200 a day going around all the strange women offering fivers at them.
How much did you give to your wife before?
She paid me. Danny Wallace. Radio X. So, I thought we'd try something a bit different this week, Stephen.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's called You Complete Me. Mm-hmm. I did it a few years ago. I tried it a few years ago, and I thought, this is good. Now, I forgot about it until just the other night.
Yeah.
And I thought this would be a fun thing to play with Steve, because it very much plays into your strengths.
Okay, great.
What are your strengths again?
I don't know, my shoes?
No, it's nothing to do with shoes. It's to do with the world of online.
Oh, great.
And social media.
Great.
So what I've done is I have typed in the beginnings of a phrase into Google. And then I've allowed it to complete what it thinks I might be searching for based on what people, you know, have been searching for. So each question, there are 5 questions, each one is worth 2 points. Can you complete the sentence, which will be hard? And then can you answer the question?
Oh, okay.
Do you understand me?
I understand, Jay. Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing I typed in was, can a man... So what could people have been completing there? Can a man what? Can a man walk on the moon? Can a man skydive using just an umbrella?
I'm going to go for, can a man have a baby?
Can a man have a baby was on there, but it's not the one I've gone for.
Incorrect.
Can a man wear jeans to a christening?
That's not true.
That is absolutely true. So you got that incorrect. It's can a man wear jeans to a christening? That's what people want to find out. So what do you think is the answer?
I think the answer is I'd say yes, although you probably should wear trousers.
Well, according to the 3 sources that I checked with, including a Man's Style website, Mumsnet, and another one, the answer is no.
Oh.
You may not. A man may not wear jeans to a christening. That is the first of our commandments going into our book. So what about this one? Has a woman ever... What could it be? Has a woman ever what, Steve? What are people trying to find out?
Has a woman ever been into space?
Oh! Ooh. Do you know, I think that might have been low down on the list as well. But no, it was, has a woman ever started a war?
That's a good question.
It's a good question. So what's the answer?
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no.
Ooh. Wait a minute. What did old Vicky do back in the day?
Vicky.
You know what? I'm going to say no.
Okay. Well, incorrect.
Ah.
It's something you could accuse Cleopatra, Boudicca, Queen Maeve, and Mary Tudor of. But according to my subsequent research, female rulers of the past 500 years have waged war more often than kings.
Ooh.
That's right. European rulers from 1480 to 1913, queens were more likely to wage war than kings.
Wow, how backwards thinking of me.
Well, isn't it just? Come on. Question three. Do children... What? 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 Do children what? Complete it.
Do children...
Do children what?
Do children grow up?
Well, we know they do.
Incorrect.
Oh, no, it's a hard one.
Do children sweat?
Kids sweat, don't they?
Well, do they?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, since adults sweat more, sweat drippage occurs more frequently in adults. Sweat that drips from the body does not dissipate heat. Sweat drippage occurs less frequently in children, but it does occur.
It's correct.
Yes, yes. Okay, here's another one. Why am I...
How is it, why am I awake?
Ooh, I think you might be onto something there.
I think that was low down the list as well, but not the one I've got.
I'm rubbish at this.
Incorrect.
It's why am I so cold?
Oh, that's horrible.
I've looked into it. The answer is you may be anemic. And finally, will humans ever... What, Steve? What are people searching for there when they type that
on,
in? Will
Steve,
humans ever what?
Go on.
Will humans ever live on Mars?
Oh, I think that was... You've got the touch of the common man. You know the big questions that people want. But no.
Incorrect.
Will humans ever evolve to breathe underwater, Steve?
That is not the most Googled question.
That's one of them. It's up there. So what do you reckon?
No, they won't.
Correct.
Correct.
According to science, one in particular says, in conclusion, I must disappointingly say humans will never evolve to breathe underwater because there's no real threat that would cause air-breathing humans to die out, thus necessitating water-breathing humans to rise up.
Yeah, we came out of water.
Yeah, exactly. Wise words. So I think you got 2 out of 10 there, which isn't bad. That's 20% of the questions, of the answers you guessed correctly.
That's a very good percentage-wise. I mean, if you
bad.
Had a 20% chance of winning the lottery... You'd be buying tickets left, right, centre.
Left, right and centre, wouldn't you? No money will change hands today, though.
No.
So that was You Complete Me. What do you think?
Does I that love work? That. Can we do that again next week?
Of course we can, Steve. We can do anything you want if we just put our heads together and believe.
Radio X. X. Danny Wallace.
You know what I did on the weekend? I popped down to Kidzania.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like I'm doing an advert now. I'm not. I paid. It's very expensive.
I popped down to Kidzania.
Yeah. And it's this place, right? It's like they have them all over the world and you shove your kids in and it's like a little city where they can all do different jobs depending on whatever they want to do. They can fly a plane. Mm. They can work in a grocery. They can do any of this stuff. And there was a Radio X in there.
Was it?
Yeah.
there's
a little radio studio, a global radio studio, and Radio X comes up on the thing. And then 6 kids go in. They get 20 minutes of being a DJ. So my son and his mate went in, and they had fun. I don't think it's a very accurate portrayal of what they can expect later in life.
Oh, really?
Should they then do it? There was an awful lot of dancing. An awful lot of dancing in the studio.
Really?
Yeah, the person in charge, the head DJ, whenever the music's on, makes everyone run around the studio and dance. And as I explained to my son, I said, we only make Steve do that. So that should be a thing that we do, because now I realise that's the only formal training I've ever had, watching through the window as some children dance around.
I'm happy to bring more of that in.
Great, you happy with that, Steve?
Oh, well, I'm not much of a dancer.
Well, it'll just be for the webcam viewers.
The webcam viewers.
Of which there are none. But that would be good, wouldn't it?
Did you crunch the listening figures with them?
No, I did not.
Did you give him a bit of a hard time about the tightness of his links?
No, I didn't. I just told him, always mention that there is a podcast available after the show, as there will be in just a few hours' time, with a whole bunch of extra stuff in there. And in a few moments' time, we will be reading a story that Steve wrote when he was 8 years old. I know nothing about it. It could be car crash radio. Or it could win the Booker. I don't know. One or the other. Back after this.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
What do we like at the end of a week, or indeed the beginning of another? We like to sit down and be read to, don't we?
Yes.
I have several people in my employ, and I make them read at me very quickly every morning.
You do, yeah.
So I've got the guy who reads out the news stories. I've got the lady who reads out my post that I get. And every morning at 8, all five of them read at me at once.
At once.
And I suck it all in. The whole thing takes 30 seconds.
Really?
And that's going to happen now with you and this book that you've brought in. Now, why did you bring this book in, Steve?
Well, I wrote, we were chatting about things that we'd done as kids, and I remember writing a small story.
Yeah.
But I can't remember any of its content. I just remember my parents absolutely loving it.
Well, there you go. Now, it's in a Rugrats exercise book. Published by the company on Royston Road, Duxford.
Good.
CB24QY. It says, please retain this address for future reference. Which I suppose you have done, and we have just referred to it. That's the only time it's ever worked.
Look at there, someone in Duckford going, oh, great, finally.
On the last page, you've written in bubble writing, Merry Christmas. Halfway through the book, there's a phone number, and it just says, Phil's mum.
Oh, good.
Who's Iris?
I don't know.
You've got a couple of numbers there.
It looks like the kind of thing my mum would have taken off me to write a number down on whilst I was writing.
And there are two stories in here. The second one is only a page long and it's called The House on the Hill.
Well, we could do that one first.
Or should we do The Cliffhangers?
I mean, I'll leave that up to you guys. Cliffhangers is quite long.
Well, let's not do all of it. Let's find an appropriate cliffhanger in The Cliffhangers. Ladies and gents, I don't know what this is. Steve is not familiar with the material either, but he did write it. I present Steve Ferdinando's The Cliffhangers.
Once, campers were lost in the mountains. Nobody knew what happened. I mean, that's a pretty strong start.
That's a strong start. That could be the end of it.
That is a pretty strong
start. That's the whole story.
Ring, ring. So I've written down the sounds of the telephone.
Good.
Ring, ring. Hello. What? People were lost in the mountains last year, said David.
Who's nice. David?
David's the protagonist,
okay,
I would only
right,
assume.
Good.
And I think he may be named after David Duchovny.
Oh, of the X-Files.
Of the X-Files, because I do remember my sister watching a lot of the X-Files.
Okay.
You're going in a week, said his boss. Okay, with who, said David. It says with Michael Owen.
Michael Owen?
Said his boss.
The footballer?
I guess so.
So David Duchovny and Michael Owen are going to find campers lost in the woods.
I mean, this is already a pretty strong premise.
Yes.
Dream team, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, bye, said his boss. right. Hi, you must be David, said Michael. It's a strict dialogue here.
Okay, that's fine.
Hi, you must be David, said Michael. Yes, spelt Y-I-S.
Yes.
And you must be Michael. Yes. Hey, are we going on Sunday, said Michael.
They're not in a hurry, are they? These campers are lost in the woods and the boss is like, all right, bye. No planning. He just lets Michael Owen and David Duchovny just ring each other.
Just like, well, yeah, well, let's get our two best men on it.
Yeah, get two best men. So they're going on Sunday. All right, go on.
Right, yes, we are going on Sunday. Yes, we are, said David. Hey, look on the map. There's a farm for us to stay in. Great. I don't know why. Oh, that's because I had a toy farm. Let's see.
How do you remember that?
I don't know.
It's good that you're showing you're working.
Get to a cliffhanger.
David, do you know you're going tomorrow? Well, you're going on a plane. Okay, said their boss.
The boss is still there.
The boss is just kind of coming in and out of the narrative here. I can't wait till we get there. Can you, said David. No, I can't, said Michael. Well, I mean, there's a lot of backstory here.
Find a cliffhanger!
Man, look at these mountains. They are massive, said Michael.
Find a cliffhanger! It's called The Cliffhangers!
Then Michael said, no wonder they are not discovered yet. All right, so that the mountains are undiscovered.
Right.
This is pretty meandering, this story.
Get to a cliffhanger.
We have landed on the mountains, said the pilot. Let's get in the car. So it's so windy, said David. Go faster, said Michael.
Hurry up.
I can't. The wind is pulling me back, said David.
Here we go.
Oh, wow.
They drove for miles and miles. It really builds.
Get to a cliffhanger.
Hold on a sec. Oh, no, the wind is pulling us up, said Michael. Oh, no, we have to put weight on the car to weigh it down. Oh, my God, we're going to fall.
Oh, there you go. There's the cliffhanger. Wow.
Wow.
Should we do? Should we? I think we should probably save the rest of that for off air, which is where the most important content goes.
Yeah, off air.
Yeah, we'll save it for off air.
Between us.
Yeah, I feel it's so personal and private that we shouldn't be broadcasting this.
I feel like I've got a knack for dialogue.
Definitely. Well, you've got a knack for having a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, but it's the descriptive. And you know what? In my writings today, that's the same thing.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, I just, in my writings...
Here's editors, cold. Save it for off-air, mate. Save it for off-air.
This is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
You wouldn't want Kafka around yours for a cup of tea, would you?
Why not?
Look at him. He'd be like...
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, you're right, Kaf...
Very,
right,
black, very black and white, isn't he?
How's it going? Well, the Imperial Sun is trying to throw me off its own scent.
Should we? We should. You know the popular dinner party game, where you talk about who you would really like to have for dinner.
Yeah.
Why don't we have like a really depressing version, where your dinner party has just gone wrong?
Well, me and my mate do a thing where we talk about like the inappropriate dinner party where you'd have some of the more verbose characters, should we say.
Mm.
So you'd obviously... Sorry, I don't know what that noise was.
It was as if to say, oh, don't, yes, I know, I understand.
But that it would ultimately be a more of a laugh
than if you had... Nightmare dinner party.
Yeah.
Kafka. You could have Kafka.
I'd have Donnie Trump down there.
You can either have Trump or Farage. You can't have both.
Can you not have both?
Nah.
You'd have to have Piers Morgan.
I think Farage would be good because it would just he'd be out. He'd be popping out every 5 minutes and just coming back and wafting this embassy gas. Sort of, following him in.
I think
he'd bring a keg as well.
He wouldn't.
Yeah, but he wouldn't share it.
Yeah, no.
And also, it'd be warm.
Yeah.
It would be about to go on the turn.
Yes.
And he'd have bought it off a spiv.
No, you'd go, Nigel, you've bought a keg. How nice of you. And he'd go, yeah, where can I fill it up? That's a joke I stole from The Simpsons, by the way.
Oh, man, just before. So,
but I reckon if Nigel was there, you'd have a couple of pints, and then you'd be going, Nigel, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Nigel, what are you like?
You're terrible.
And he'd be like,
blah, 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 blah,
blah. And he'd be like, come on, Nigel.
Who would you invite to a bad dinner party?
So the idea is to make it like really awkward. No,
just
one wants
an awful
to chat.
Night.
John Craven.
Is he grumpy?
I don't think he's grumpy.
I think
but
he'd just
think
take it very seriously,
probably
wouldn't
he? Probably just yarns on a bit.
Yarns on, probably tells you're wrong about everything.
John Craven.
We're making this up. He might be great.
Might be.
I do get that impression that you would... Maybe you'd make a joke and he'd be like, well, if I can just stop you there.
Yeah. He would just relate everything back to the BBC. Just be like, once 25 years ago, actually, at the BBC.
Yeah.
Mm. Just be a bit boring, wouldn't it?
It'd be like this... plumber at I was forced to hang out with recently.
No one forces you to hang out with these people. They come to your house and you
book
and
you them.
Yeah, and then you'd hang around them.
No, I was on jury service.
Oh, right. Fair.
So it was the very definition of being forced. But now I've given away that fact. I can't possibly tell you what happened.
Danny Wallace. Radio
X. It is Sunday. It is the important broadcast. And it is your three chums. Chums, assemble. Chum one, Steve.
Yo.
Chum two, Joe.
Hello, everyone.
Chum three, that's me. Chum, not chump. I have to be...
You're chump one, but
hey,
chum three.
Chum, like pal, like buddy, like...
Like pedigree.
What?
Pedigree chum.
Don't derail the intro by taking me off a cul-de-sac headed dog food this way.
Dog food man.
Oh, mate.
This... is Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Stephen, you know these psychics you get nowadays?
Yeah, there's one just round the corner.
No way, what's she called? I'm assuming it's a she.
I don't know. I think it's a she or a he. They sit on the corner.
Well, you're not psychic, hey? I mean, you've got basic memory skills.
They sit on the corner of Leicester Square and you can literally, they just have a little like box.
Well, you know they're good if they're sitting on the corner of Leicester Square.
You know they're doing it for the love, not for the money.
Prime real estate. Well, this lady was arrested for not actually being psychic.
No.
Yeah. And she'd been like taking money hand over fist from people, thousands of dollars worth. And they went, look, you know, you're not psychic. And she went, well, there's no law against it. So what they did was they charged her with witchcraft.
What?
Yeah. So they didn't know what to do. So they just went, well, you're practicing witchcraft then. And that seems to be a law.
Well, that's also, and is that illegal to be a witch?
I think practicing witchcraft, hexes, curses, the like, voodoo, hoodoo, who do you do, all that stuff, pretty much banned. And it was a 5-month investigation. So I suppose they're pretty certain she's not psychic.
That is a waste of everyone's time.
Isn't it just?
But doesn't that set a precedent? So, she's not psychic. What about the other psychics? Forgive me for my scepticism, but what do the others do that she doesn't?
Well, I don't know, but it says here that they may not be able to charge people with witchcraft for much longer.
Oh really?
Yeah. Proposed legislation in the form of Bill C-51, write that down, plans to remove witchcraft, dueling, and other obsolete offences from the criminal code. So you can still get done for dueling.
So is she... What are you going to do? Dunk her in some water to see if... as a punishment?
That's a good idea. I don't know. But, I mean, who's the last person to have a duel?
I don't know.
On the bright side, we'll be able to have duels soon and not get in trouble for it.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yes, we will.
Yeah, because it won't be illegal.
It won't be illegal anymore.
We'll just duel to our heart's content.
Oh, like... great.
well, that's... Find out when the day is.
Yeah, and then
we'll have a dueling party.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Let's have a dueling party.
Cool.
You know, like how in Canada they had a big cannabis day when they legalized it. It was a big party. Apparently sold out.
Really?
Sold out of the stuff.
Did they?
Anyway.
I bet the fast food joints were happy as well for about 3 days afterwards. This
is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
It's time to educate ourselves and each other as we play Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
Radio X.
Tell me something I don't know.
So the rules are very complicated, so we won't go into them. You just have to trust us. This is a game of trust. So far, the scores in this long-running game are... I think I'm in the thousands.
A couple of thousand now,
couple
actually.
Couple of thousands.
Yeah.
I think, Steve, you're in the tens.
Minus 128, Steve.
Minus 128. We just go around the table. Each of us has brought two amazing facts that we've somehow learned throughout the week. And the others have to say whether they knew that already. We begin, as always, with 45 minutes of deciding who should go first. Joe, would you like to go first?
I'd be happy to. Please don't think that I wouldn't, because
arrogant.
I would.
Arrogant, yeah, it's a bit arrogant. Steve, what about you?
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Very... Well, it's lovely.
Confident.
I'd rather go with you because of Joe's demeanour.
I'd like you to go first, Daniel.
Well, that's lovely of you. No, you go first. Steve, your first fact, please.
Okay, here we go. First fact of the day. As you guys know, I...
totally taking a run-up. Go on.
As you know, I had an ultrasound done.
Yes.
And guess what I learnt about ultrasounds? Or should I say ultrasound jelly?
Oh.
Now, all you would have to do, apparently, to ultrasound jelly, to make it edible dessert jelly, is add a little sugar and food colouring, and obviously, like, make it cold and put it in the fridge. It's the same
Does
stuff.
Does that not apply to a lot of things? Like, to make it edible, you'd just add a bit of sugar and...
Yeah.
No, you couldn't add a bit of sugar to a shoe and make it edible.
Well, all you've got to do to water is add a bit of Ribena, and you've got Ribena.
Yeah. Grass would be all right with a bit of sugar and food.
No, I'm saying it's the same stuff. It's the same as the jelly that you'd buy in the shop.
Well, I did not know that, and I'm glad I do, so well done.
Did you know that, Joe?
2 points, Steve. Well done. I didn't know that.
Well, that was a golden lie.
Oh! Oh no!
We even mocked you!
How?
Bosh, have that one for free.
Oh, that's
Goodness me.
1,000 points.
That
well
is
done.
Well played.
Really well sold.
Very good. Very well sold.
Well performed as well.
You went to the doctor just to make that happen.
Yeah. To be honest, they said I was wasting the NHS's money.
Joseph, how about you? What's your first fact?
You know the county of Devon?
I do know it.
Did you know that the county of Devon is the only county in the UK that has two coasts?
No, I did not know that. No, it's not very interesting.
It's quite interesting. Of all the other counties...
I guess facts don't have to be interesting, do they?
No, it's factual.
Okay.
Yeah, go on in.
Yeah, all fine.
2 points, thanks very much.
Well, I'm going to forget that as soon as this game's over.
Already done. Now, we all know and love the expression blood-curdling, don't we?
Yeah,
we love it. But you know what? It's not just an expression. Research has shown that watching horror movies can increase a certain clotting protein within our very bloodstreams.
Oh.
So if you watch something that is terrifically scary and you have that system, that whatever it is, your blood can curdle.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
can literally curdle.
Yeah,
like a bad orange juice, like a bad custard, like an old custard.
I can't remember if you played your Golden Lie last week or not. I think you did,
huh?
Which would mean being in the same calendar month, you wouldn't be allowed to play it this week,
right?
What are you going to do? Are you going to call him out?
If I call him out, I stand to lose a lot of points.
Well, and that's your call.
You know that I'm spineless, so I'm not willing to do that. But I just want you to know that I'm sceptical.
Right. Well, it's true.
There you go.
So do with that information what you will.
Joe, you're so sassy, man.
You're real sassy.
Guys, remember when you were kids?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would occasionally feel anxious and suck your thumb.
No.
Well, you know how it's a common thing
for
children to suck their thumbs.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, aren't you thinking, how would an elephant do that?
Yeah, how would an elephant do that?
Because they don't have thumbs, yeah. And it would be hard for...
Well, don't second guess the fact.
Don't jump in.
I know it.
Oh.
Well, baby elephants suck their trunks, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know, that. I heard that this week.
Well, I didn't. You see, what the Lord giveth, he taketh away.
Still 1,001 points, though.
Yeah, that's true. Joseph, your second and final fact, please.
Did you know your thigh bone?
Yeah. I got two.
Yeah, you got two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that the human thigh bone is stronger, some actually say up to 8 times stronger than concrete?
Ooh. I did know that, yeah. I knew that.
Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, nil point.
I didn't know that, so you get a point off me.
Well, no, I lose a point because Steve knew it, and I gain a point for you, so it's none. It's none.
So complicated.
I know, sorry.
I'll tell you something you didn't know. Did you know an episode of Peppa Pig was pulled from Australian television? Why? Why would they do that? Why?
Pulled
why?
Pork.
It was pulled because the lesson therein was teaching children not to fear spiders. They're our friends.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, in Australia...
They're not, are they?
Never pet a spider. Come on. You got to fear Mr. Skinny Legs.
I didn't know that.
Is that true?
Well, why do you think I said it?
Well, that could be a lie.
Well, it could be a lie. What are you going to do?
No, I'm going to believe you on that one.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, nice. Well, that's amazing.
So there you go. Well, I think that was a sterling round. We learned a lot of stuff, didn't we, there, about spiders and elephants and... blood curdling. We didn't learn anything about the jelly that they put in ultrasounds, though, did we?
No,
we learned
the
very opposite. Fake news, courtesy of Steve Ferdinando. Here's Blossoms. Maybe there's a Danny Wallace. Radio X. Stephen, there was another story within your book of tales. Steve, I mean, it's just a Rugrats notebook. It needs to have a title. What do you call this collection?
This collection.
When did you first realise you had something with the cliffhangers?
Well, I always had a way of words, but, you know, really, I just kind of write for myself, and if anyone else liked it, then that's great.
Did the story come first? Did you plot it all out, or was it an exercise in improvisation?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think I had some toys, and I thought to myself, let me immortalise this game I'm playing to the written word.
Literature is a game in many ways, isn't it? It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
and your process, talk me through your process. What comes, I mean, the characterization is very strong. Does the character come first or the situation?
Well, I would probably say in the case of the cliffhangers.
Yes.
I was very much with the characters first, having seen Michael Owen and David Duchovny on the television. But, I mean, as Stephen King says, you know, you have one idea, you have two ideas, and suddenly they collide in a way, and that's where fiction comes from. And so very much Michael Owen, my toy farm, collided together, and we have now this work we know as the cliffhangers.
I'm talking to author Steve Ferdinando about his new book, The Cliffhangers. The title is intriguing because it seems to have no cliffhangers whatsoever.
Well, I think it's literally about people hanging off a mountain.
I see.
You know, actually, oh my God, I remember I was writing this when I was writing. I went round my friend's house and I was like, yeah, I'm writing a book. And his mum said to me, oh, what's it called? And I said, The Cliffhangers. About people hanging off a cliff. And she said to me, oh, so it's like there's lots of, you know...
Cliffhangers.
Yeah. And I was like, what's she on about?
Well, along the companion piece in many ways for The Cliffhangers is The House on the Hill. If The Cliffhangers is a novella, this is more three paragraphs. it's a short piece. It's not. It's haiku-like, in the spirit of Murakami or any of the noted Japanese authors of the late 20th century.
Yeah.
Don't even explain what this is. Let's just get into it and allow it to wash over us. So this is reading again from his companion piece, House on the Hill, Steve Ferdinando.
Thank you, guys. The House on the Hill. Fred and Al are roommates, and not the brightest of people. Out of the two, Al is the smartest, and he looked at the room and said, "We've got to move." "What?" screamed Fred. "We can't move. I love it here, and it's lovely and neat."
Steve Ferdinando. The House on the Hill. Available as a Kindle single from October the 31st.
Thanks, everyone. It's been a pleasure to come on your broadcast.
Shh. This is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Looking through the papers. All sorts of news in the papers, isn't there?
Yeah, there's loads.
Some of it good, some of it bad.
Could you read out some bad news?
Could I read out some bad news?
Yeah.
Why do you want specifically bad news?
I just feel like, you know,
it's too jolly. We've got horse blinders on us to the ills of the world, is what you're saying. We need to be more realist.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, you're always trying to read out these jovial stories. And yeah, what the listeners want is some hard-hitting facts.
All right.
How do I know about the stocks? How do I know about tragedies?
Well,
I get all my news through you.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got one for you. We'll discuss it in a moment. The world's biggest peanut has been cracked by fierce winds.
That's news
coming up.
Radio X. Danny Wallace.
Radio X.
So I've been looking at the newspapers. I've been trying to find bad news for you, seeing as you're on this, I don't know, quite sort of... Are you all right?
I'm a journalist.
Is it because I've given you that book, The Unhappiness of Being a Single Man?
Yeah, you
it's
know.
It's made you confront the realities of the situation.
Oh, it's because I have my literature here, so it means I have to adopt a more brooding kind of... You know, when you go to speak to Radio 4 or something,
yeah,
you'll take a seat back and act like a brooding, you know, author.
That's true, I do. I affect a slightly different demeanour.
Mm, and you answer things like, well, I don't quite think that's true.
Yeah, that's all you have to do to get on Radio 4. So the world's biggest peanut, Steve, has been cracked by fierce winds.
Oh, no.
And it's just a big peanut, but not a real peanut, I believe. It's a big plastic peanut.
Right, okay.
To celebrate the most important crop in this specific area of America, they built this 6-metre peanut.
Right.
This happens a lot in Australia, you know. I've been to see a lot of the big things in Australia.
Yeah, I've seen a picture of you and a giant shrimp, maybe?
Me and a prawn. I've seen... I did a little road trip, and I saw about 20 of them, I think. And
why?
Why not? It was a freewheeling young man's trip.
You know, most young men go to, like, Las Vegas with
not
their
me,
friends.
Not me. I went to Tropical Fruit World. I went to the giant macadamia nut. The giant macadamia nut is worth seeing. It's right across the street from the giant pineapple.
Oh, right.
Where, I think in the early 80s, Princess Diana was taken on a trip to Australia by Prince Charles, and they both rode on the Macadamia Express, which is a tiny little train that takes you around to see all the macadamia nuts, culminating in a photo opportunity by the giant macadamia nut.
I wish we did more of that stuff over here. We don't have enough giant stuff.
No, it was all started, I believe... Was it the big banana? It might have been the big banana in Coffs Harbour. A guy was growing bananas, and he couldn't understand why no one was swinging by to buy his bananas. He had nothing but bananas, left, right and centre. And then he thought, what I'll do is, I'll build a big banana to let people who are driving by know that I sell big bananas. So he made a big banana. It became a tourist destination. And they came from northeast, south and west, like the gathering of the tribes in Braveheart. All these banana fans.
Wow.
And then everyone else started doing it. You got the giant avocado.
So can I buy avocados from the giant avocado?
You could. You could go to Tropical Fruit World, which is just off the motorway, advertised by a big avocado. Yeah. And then you go there and there's a quiz you can do about tropical fruits.
See, this is what the A12 needs more of.
Absolutely. At the moment, it's just got a spa and an adult shop. A school banned bags. It banned bags.
Why?
Well, health and safety.
Stupid. Oh, right. Yeah. Stupid.
Maybe people's shoulders were slumping. Maybe they'd hurt their backs. Maybe they're getting caught their necks or something. Anyway, they said no more bags.
Right.
And everyone went, well, what are we going to put our stuff in? And they went, not our problem. So this guy, this kid, Jacob, 17, he thought that's crazy. So he started bringing in his books, but carrying them in a microwave.
Yes, Jacob.
Yes, Jacob. So he's, he's carrying this microwave, heavy microwave around, packed with all the books.
Amazing.
Every time he needs to get a book out, ding! You know, he takes the books out. Oh, they weren't happy with him. They were furious.
Were they?
Yeah, because he had his mobile phone with him so he could tell his mum about what was going on. And they went, we're having that. And so they took his phone off him as well. So now poor Jacob is bagless and phoneless. Don't bereft, standing around with a microwave full of books.
What don't let the people get you down, Jacob. Don't let them.
Well, to give him his due, head teacher Stephen Wilkinson told Spalding Today, which is where I get my news, we have a student who's behaved in an increasingly inappropriate way, actions the likes of which I have never witnessed. Well, it's true. You've never witnessed a kid walking around with a microwave the whole time. Anyway, he's very disappointed in Jacob. But Jacob, you know, I think that although your actions could be described as annoying, I think you're making a brave stand.
Yeah, what do that school expect?
Yes, well, they don't expect you to turn up with a microwave.
So you're banning bags.
You're banning bags.
You're asking a teenager to do something stupid.
They're asking for trouble is what they're asking for. They're asking for trouble. It's health and safety gone mad.
It's the political correctness gone mad.
Oh, why? Who is this the Britain we want?
This is a nanny state.
Where you can't even turn up to school carrying your
Sometimes. This is Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
Still to come, music from the likes of Arctic Monkeys. And I'll be highlighting something very odd, I've noticed. A trend, Steve.
Yeah?
Yeah, and you might be able to fill me in what with your social media expertise.
Yep, I am the voice of the generation.
We will do that after this.
Radio X.
Danny Wallace.
We've had an email from Tom, and Tom says the following, subject title, Getting Into the Music.
Excellent.
And he sent this to Danny at radiox.co.uk. Hi Danny and the rest of the Important Broadcast team. I'm a long-time listener, first-time writer. I would like to thank you for the chuckles and mirth over the past 41 shows. I'm also currently reading your book on politeness. Kudos for that. I'm a teacher. Well, he spelt kudos wrong.
Did he?
And also, it's a book about rudeness.
Yeah, I thought that.
But, you know, I was too polite and not rude enough to point that out. Sharing, as I do, the passion for educating the proletariat, and I'm a particular stickler for grammar, often leaving witty messages such as, the footballers what? Whenever someone incorrectly uses an apostrophe for the plural form of a noun. We've all done it, Tom, and we all must continue.
Yeah.
It's half term this week, and as such, missed Sunday's show for a lovely pub lunch. Brackets with friends, close brackets.
Thanks for the update, Tom.
No, I like that, because with close friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
With close
lovely,
friends.
Yeah, colour.
I listened instead to the very slick podcast that had been produced after the fact, and it is to this end I write.
Oh,
that's good.
Oh.
Being wished a hearty get into the music is thoughtful and polite, but then it struck me there was no music into which I could get, as the podcast is without any.
A lot of people have mentioned this.
There are the few notes at the ends of a song, I grant you, and the buzzing of the E string at the end of Oasis's Talk Tonight. Now, that's controversial there, Tom, because you've put Oasis's apostrophe, but you haven't put a subsequent S on the end.
Well,
it depends on the style guide you're using. I think you'll find that these days a lot of the newspapers will set the style guide. The New York Times, for example, the Washington Post will have the subsequent S on the end.
So S apostrophe S.
That's right.
I wouldn't do that, Tom. So
looks,
I think.
Well, I understand that you're a writer. I understand you brought your books with you today. I'm just saying it's a conversation to be had. Anyway, he says, the E string at the end of Oasis's Talk Tonight is always a pleasure to hear, but nevertheless quite a challenge to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering if I might suggest a more all-encompassing get into the music and or conversation. Nice.
Yeah.
Or perhaps a little reminder of the time or traffic update. Very good. I leave the choice to you, good sir, yours in the ever-glorious quest for and spreading of knowledge, Tom Rainey. P.S. Steve really reminds me of my cousin in Manner and Humour. She says, oh, wow, and oh, no, a lot, too.
Oh.
I think he's celebrating you, but it came across the way I read it as disparaging.
Yeah, no one likes to hear that they're reminded of someone else. It really takes your individualism up.
That was a fun stress.
Go on, individualism.
Individualism away.
Yeah.
You know, if I said to you, oh, Joe, you remind me of my mate, you wouldn't be like, what a wonderful thing.
No, because whenever you say that, I think, oh, his mate's probably a bit stupid. You know what I mean?
Oh, that ugly mate of yours.
Stuart. You know Stuart?
Yeah.
Like, he now encompasses all your mates for me.
That's not far off.
But I like him.
Oh, well, he
if
likes
that's
you.
A crime, lock me up.
he likes you too, Danny.
Does he?
Yeah, no, he does, yeah. I saw Stuart just last
hang
night.
Hang on, he likes me genuinely?
Yeah, he thinks you're funny.
As a friend?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if he'd go for a pint with you, but I mean...
Do you think he might?
Well, if I was there, he wouldn't be like, oh no, don't invite
Danny.
Yeah,
I don't mind.
Yeah, well, let's do it right now.
Yeah. Let's I mean, go. If you, you know, you could stay for one.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll stay for a couple.
No, that'd be...
And if...
Yeah, I'll pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you ring him?
I'll give him a call, yeah.
Will you?
Yeah, let's do it.
Why don't you get your phone out?
We'll do it after the show.
Ring him now.
No, well, he's at work at the moment.
No, please.
he's at work, it's fine. We'll talk to him later.
Well, I hope that answered all your questions, Tom, anyway. And thank you. Danny@radiox.co.uk is the address for all your email needs. Ring him now. Just drop him. Can I have his number?
I'll talk to him later, Danny.
I'll have his
Jesus
number.
Christ. Back off. This
is Radio X. Danny Wallace. I mentioned that... noticed a weird little trend that seems to be happening with our national media online outlets, Steve.
Yeah.
And we've pointed out in the past that the Daily Star online seems to have a crack investigative team.
Yeah.
Because it'll end every sort of paragraph with, the Daily Star online team can reveal. And it's just like they've watched a YouTube video or something. Do you know what I mean? And then the Daily Record seems to be absolutely obsessed up in Scotland with time travellers. Mm. So there'll be all these stories just going, look at this mysterious message from a man who claims to be from 2228 saying that it's going to rain on Tuesday. And then the next story will be, oh, this guy's from the year 6000. And this guy's... Why they're all coming back to this year,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe this is the year that time travel has... Because, you know, the theory is, if time travel was possible,
yeah.
it would already exist.
Well, of course it would. Yeah, we'd know about it.
So it's obviously not possible because... Otherwise, it would exist.
Well, we'd have time travellers wandering through the room.
So maybe it's just been invented, and that's why these people are coming back now.
So it's just been invented now, or when?
No, because it can't be, because otherwise they could have been going back to dinosaur times and Victorian times.
Yeah.
Listen, well,
maybe
exactly.
There's like a statute of limitations, and they're only allowed to come back to a certain time, and it happens to be late 2018.
Maybe it's like, that's from this point onwards, the technology to receive the travellers is now available.
Absolutely. This is like one of those discussions people have very late at night after a comical cigarette. My point is this. What's happened to the Mirror? Because these are the headlines that you get if you go to the Mirror. Terrified couple photobombed by ghost of Titanic's captain.
Oh, no.
In historic pub linked to famous ship. So somehow the captain of the Titanic, who I believe went down with the ship, has travelled to like a Derbyshire pub rather than hanging around where the Titanic is or maybe haunting his old house. He's gone, where shall I go? I'll go to that pub in Derby.
Yeah.
Mum captures creepy photo of two ghosts in picture of daughter at Victoria and Albert Museum. Oh, man. Mum, why is it always mums? Mum, terrified by spine-chilling demon voice, recorded on phone in hospital corridor.
Oh, right. That's definitely real.
Ghost-like figure during hailstorm caught on camera. That one's not really interesting.
Caught on camera.
This one's better. Oh, God. I didn't realise how bleak this was. One-legged ghost child spotted hopping at side of road, screaming two words over and over again.
What were the words?
I don't know.
Clickbait.
My leg. I don't know what it is.
Pull over.
What's going on? Anyway, the Mirror has got... cut the bed. Has this... Are we now at like the start of Ghostbusters 2 or something where there's been a distinct spike in paranormal activity and only the Mirror has spotted it?
there's a crack team of investigative journalists at the Mirror and they're like, we've got to blow this thing wide open.
We're going to find out. Should we get in contact with someone from the Mirror for next week's show and work out what's going on in the world?
I'll see if I can crack that team.
Do that, Steve. I don't know what you're going to do for next week's show. Any plans?
Nah, I'll probably just turn up.
No, Stephen.
I'll tell you what, I'll write us a poem.
You always go back to the poetry, don't
you? That's my original passion.
I want you to read the book I gave you, The Unhappiness of Being a Single Man.
I will.
And give it a book review for next week. Okay. It's Razor Light! Radio X. Danny Wallace. Well, that was podcast number 42 from the Important Broadcast. Count them, Steve.
Count all the podcasts?
Yep.
One.
Go on.
Two.
Yep.
Three.
That was a good one.
Four.
Yep.
5.
Moving into April now, I think.
6. Yep. 7. 8.
Yeah.
9.
Probably June now.
No, mate. Were you mad? You know how the months work.
I don't even know when we started.
We started at Christmas.
Did we?
No, we didn't. We started in January.
Oh.
Oh, well, sorry. I meant January. So if we're on. So if I'm counting episode 10 now.
Start again.
Sorry, 1.
Yeah, January.
2.
Yeah.
3.
Okay.
Four.
While you're doing that,
five,
I will say thank you for
six,
downloading this seven, podcast. We'll be back
eight,
in your, it's not an inbox,
nine,
is it? In your sort of iTunes or
11, 12,
similar podcast
13,
provider.
Yeah, your podcast 14, folder.
One
yeah,
of those will be there, 16, and 17, it'll have all 18, new stuff, 19, different words 20, said in different ways. But we will from now on always end with the podcast count. Where with every, just to make sure they're all still there, so that when we get to, as in next week, 43,
38.
We can end on that. So let's
40,
just hear as he counts to
41
today's.
And 42.
Brilliant. And next week we'll be adding.
Added number 43.
That's how we'll end it. I hope you're very well. Sorry about that. Don't blame us. We'll see you for podcast 43.
I love the idea of ending every episode on the podcast.
That's the thing. Well, just to make sure they're all still there.
Yeah. Radio X. I think if we really dig down into how I, you know, at the time,
yeah,
I mean, I was probably going into year 5.
Sure, of course, that's
going
to influence you.
Which is a transitional period when you become elder within the school, but you're still not the oldest, and I think that can be seen in the relationship between David and Michael. But it's only something that I can.
It's a very complex relationship, David and Michael. Is it, you know, is it father son? Is it brother brother? Is it,
lover?
David and Goliath? Is it lover? Absolutely.
Having written this novella somewhat 20 years ago, it's very interesting to go back and see how those themes kind
and
of
how
develop.
Times have changed.
Exactly, yeah. My liberal use of language is, of course, Huckleberry Finn-esque, but they were very much of the time.
There's a whole different set of cliffs these days. I think a lot of female listeners will be asking, how do you write women so well?
Yeah, it's by completely omitting them.
Sure.
And I think there's actually not a single female in this story.
Yeah. Quite right! Radio X.